think I'd invite him to my house and talk to him. And if a man is really repentant and wants to make something in his own life, I'm willing to help him.
And then check the silverware before he leaves.
I don't think I'm quite that kind of person.
You're okay, Carol, and I wish I could get the story behind the story. What the police are going to do to this character?
Yeah, well, I'm not aware of everything that goes on, and like that. I know that many times when something like this happens, that it doesn't happen that often. But I know that truly people that want to go over to do the straight thing.
Oh, it was a month ago.
Yeah.
And we just got in the news tonight. I wonder where he is now. I wonder if we call the police department in Bend, Oregon, I wonder if we can get the story there.
I got it.
I'll tell them I'm Glick of the FBI.
Oh, yeah.
Carol, thanks.
I don't think they believe you.
I don't believe it myself. Carol, you're a very nice lady, and I want to thank you very, very much for being on with us and giving us the story.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a nice lady. She doesn't want to hurt anybody. Joe Green could travel. He could check this kid, Joe Green, in a BZ machine. He could travel and find out where that kid went, what he did with the equipment. Joe Green reports on the traffic scene from the BZ Copter every morning and afternoon on WBZ Boston Group, W Westinghouse Broadcasting. Let's have this swell message and we'll be back.
This is Red Auerbach. There's a special April tradition at Rodman, Lincoln, Mercury in Foxborough. Every April since they started in business 15 years ago, new car sales have exceeded the year before. This year, they know it's going to take something extra special, and here it is. If you buy a new car from stock before April the 19th, Rodman will not only match any competitive discount or rebate claim, but will give you, in addition, a $250 free bonus card to use as you please at Rodman. For service, parts, tires, accessories, car rentals, you could even rent a helicopter. That's right, an additional $250 that works just like cash. And get this, it's good any time, for as long as you own your Rodman car. And that's not enough to extend Rodman's April winning streak for another year. And I don't know anything about winning traditions. And you know better than that.
The Boy Scouts of the Boston Council are outselling tickets for their exciting Scout Show 75. BZ asks you to buy a couple. You'll have a good time at the Scout Show and help Boston area scouting in the bargain.
Let's have this one more spot. We'll be back in 60 seconds and we'd like to hear from you. Our number is 254-5678, area code 617. If you've been window shopping lately, you know that men's suits, sport coats, and slacks are selling for $125 to $175 and even more. Then you begin to wonder how the Adams Warehouse, that miracle-working outlet in Boston's Leather District, can sell such fine clothing for men at such incredible prices. Here's how. A famous chain in New York closes its doors, a well-known manufacturer is overstocked, and Adams Warehouse buyers are there with an open checkbook to make those amazing buys. You'll find a tremendous selection, thousands of suits in all sizes and styles, including the latest leisure suits on sale at $19 to $79 and none higher. Thousands of sport coats, sale priced at $12 to $49, none higher. Thousands of pairs of slacks at $4 to $17 and none higher. Many with America's most famous labels. And there's a tremendous selection for big men at prices little men ordinarily pay. See? And you've got to believe. Come on down to the Adams Warehouse, 123 Beach Street, corner of South Street, just two blocks from Boston South Station. Open Monday through Friday till 9, Saturday till 6. Bank AmeriCard and MasterCharge card honored. Money back on any unaltered garment within 7 days. Okay, John Detroit, let's take him to the call. See, we have 254-5678. Hello, if you can hear me. Come on,
hey, what's the matter? This is Kevin Falcon in New York.
Ho, Falcon in New York?
Yeah, remember me?
Yes, I remember you, yes.
Hey, Ray.
Hey.
You know what's been happening around here since I haven't called you in about a month.
That was good, good.
Hey, I'll let you in on all the stuff that's happening.
Yes, okay.
I got me a radio station.
You got a radio station? What kind of radio station?
It's an FM radio station.
Yeah, what town?
What?
In what town?
Boston, New York.
What power do you have?
It's 9 volts.
9 volts? You can't even get... That's not even enough signal to get to the men's room. 9 volts? What kind of power is that? That's not power, 9 volts.
I know. It's got a field range of 60 feet.
60 feet?
Yeah.
Yeah. How old are you, Mark? I mean, Joe or Sam. How old are you?
No, my name's John, but you can call me the kid from Faulkner.
Oh, yeah, the kid from Faulkner.
Yeah. I'm 15.
15 years old. Hey, listen, can you see your FM set?
No, Larry, don't shoot.
2-5-4-5-6-7-8, you're on WBZ. Hello.
Hello, Larry?
Yes.
Hi, this is Kay from Burlington.
Hey, Kay from Burlington.
How you doing?
Most of that.
Good. I called you 2 weeks ago to tell you about the Mother's Game that was going to be played in West Concord.
The Mother's Game in West Concord?
The hockey game.
Oh!
Perhaps you don't remember.
I do, you mother you.
Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
We just finished our last practice, and we're all ready for the big day.
Oh, when is the big day?
Sunday.
Oh, congratulations.
Sunday afternoon. Yes, one newspaper said this will be the hockey game that will bring hockey to its knees.
That'll be great.
Yeah, you asked me the last time what the ages were on the team.
From what
ranges
to what?
Ranges from 28 to 48.
That's great. All mothers, right?
Yes.
I've never even heard of a thing like this. Now, can you girls skate fairly well?
Very slow.
Very slow.
Very slow. Slow motion.
And who are you playing?
Actually, it's just a group of 36 mothers of boys that play in the Bedford Recreation Department.
What's that noise?
That was the dryer.
Oh, I thought it sounded like you were coming out for the third round. The warning.
No, I've already been through the third round tonight at practice.
Oh.
But I managed to stay on 2 feet. No, it's just a group of mothers, just an idea that we picked up that we thought would help to raise money for the boys.
What about mother? Any mothers hurt? Were there any casualties?
Oh, no. No, we move very slowly.
Right.
So when we fall, we go down very slowly.
Is this game open to the public?
Yes.
Now, why don't you give it a little plug? Where is it going to be?
It's going to be at the Assabet Valley Hockey Rink.
The what?
Assabet Valley.
Assabet Valley. Where is that?
West Concord, on Route 62.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday.
That's nice. All the mothers going out there. I guess the husbands better be out there, too.
All husbands, children, aunts, uncles, grandmothers, grandfathers.
Will there be any other games or just this mother game?
No, just the game for the mothers at 2 o'clock. I don't know if the rink has any other games scheduled.
How much does it cost to get in?
It's $1 for adults and 50 cents for children and no charge for preschoolers.
Oh, that sounds like a good deal.
Could really be a good
I want to know what the final score is, okay?
Well, I'll call you back Monday.
Okay, Kay.
And give you the final score, but before I say goodnight, what was the result of the WBC and the Jets game?
What? The game? When did they... Oh, you... Kay, I wish you hadn't stopped me. Does anyone know?
Well, Marianne, what was that game? When was it supposed to be held? The WB tonight?
Tonight?
Was it
tonight?
Know about it.
Huh?
I'm not sure.
Oh, obviously. You stumped me, Kay.
Miriam thought it was tonight.
I don't think it's not tonight, is it? Or was it? I
don't know. We seem to think that Dave Maynard and some of the other fellows were skating.
Yes, they were.
And I thought the game
was... The girls beat them 4-2.
4-2, the
girls
beat them.
Girls beat them 4-2. That's just one of those things. They were slow but sure. Do you understand?
Pardon?
They were slow but sure.
Oh, well, that's what we are. Very slow, but we try very hard.
Right. We'll give that report on the Ace Glick Show.
Well, I'll call back Monday night and give you the results.
Thank you very much.
And another thing, too, is I don't know if you remember, but I called you back that night 2 weeks ago. I didn't know the ground rules, but I had only called you back to tell you I was the first-time caller, and you shot me.
Oh, I'll give you a round of applause.
Okay. Thanks, Larry.
It's okay to okay till payday. Your credit is okay with Kay. So long, Kay.
Okay, Larry. I'll call you Monday.
Bye. 254-5678. You're on WBZ. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
WBZ?
It's WBZ.
Yeah, I wanted to speak to Larry Glick.
What do you want to talk to him about, kid?
I wanted to ask him, it was something that he had on one of his shows previously about flights to Bermuda during the night.
Hold on a second. Hey, Larry, line 4, some kid on the UFOs in Bermuda. Hello, WBZ, you're on the air again.
Hello, is this Larry Glick?
Hey, check, yes.
Hi,
hi.
Fred from Waltham.
Hi, Fred from Waltham. Fred, first time calling, Fred from Waltham.
Yeah, on one of your shows previously, you mentioned that there weren't any flights to Bermuda during the night. You called up Logan Airport, and I was hoping you would have asked him.
Oh, I forgot about that, Fred. That's right. They don't have any flights at night to Bermuda. The pilots are afraid to fly at night. That's why.
Would it be possible to call them tonight?
I forgot. Why didn't I think of that, Fred?
Well, that's what I was hoping you were going to ask them the whole time.
We did call the airlines, right?
I think I remember you calling.
I wish we had...
They wouldn't give any information.
should have asked Peter that question, right?
Yeah, the guy.
Peter from Duxbury.
Uh-huh.
See, you know, it's a funny thing, Fred. What's your opinion of these things? Now, here were two pilots. Peter had a lot of flying experience, and Mark, not so much. And they both put down all of these rumors about extraterrestrial UFOs and powers, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think about this? Do you think that there are other powers coming down, observing us? Do you? Come on now, Fred, the truth.
I don't know. I'm open-minded.
Fred, I know that you're open-minded. That's why you call. But what do you believe? You can tell Uncle Larry what you feel.
Well, I'd say that it's possible. But I have to see it to believe it.
Right, well, now you take Peter. He sounded like a responsible, knowledgeable person, didn't he? Didn't he?
Seemed to be.
He seemed to be right. Now, he's been flying. I don't know how many hours he has, but 17 years of flying, so he has a lot of hours. And he's never seen anything like that. Marky Parky down there in Miami, he's never seen anything.
A couple of months ago in your show,
yes,
it was an incident. It was in Rhode Island or Connecticut, where there was a young girl in a house, and she was having, she was becoming possessed or something.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And I guess in the newspapers afterwards, they said it was a hoax.
Yes, I remember that, right.
Did they ever find out how she was able to perpetrate that?
No. Well, I couldn't find out how she did those things. I tried to call the police. I tried to call them. No, I could not get the story. No.
Well, we wanted the story behind the story.
That's right. Those were my words, Fred. Fred, where are you calling from?
Waltham.
You know Malcolm McCleary?
No.
Malcolm McCleary is a lawyer. He's a good friend of mine.
In Waltham.
Malcolm McCleary. Good guy. Well, okay, listen, I want to thank you very much, Fred, and what I'm going to do is line up Peter the pilot with either John Spencer or this fellow Berlitz and get the story behind the story.
Yeah, I'd like to find out why they don't have those flights to Bermuda.
Yeah. I'll remember the next time we speak to Peter and I'll ask him, okay?
Okay, is this on 7 second delay?
Yes, why, you gonna say something dirty, Fred?
No, but I was dying to hear myself on the radio and I turned it off when I came on.
Oh, good. Well, how far are you from the radio?
I'm pretty close, can you shoot me?
No, well, you wanna be, what is this, you wanna be shot? Just keep talking so you can hear yourself.
I don't know, I was wondering about everybody else wanting to be shot too.
You wanna be shot off, eh?
Sure do.
Funny kid, I'll see you later, Fred.
Okay,
got him. Let's take another call. 254-5678. We got Fred too. I hate to shoot a kid. Hello.
Hello. Who's it?
Let me check. It's Larry Glick.
It is?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it.
Who would you expect? Milton Berle?
Well, hey, how are your powers tonight?
My powers?
Uh-huh.
My powers are strong.
Okay.
Strong.
Guess my first name.
Huh?
See if you can guess my first name.
Helen.
Holy smokes, you got around the head.
What is your name?
Helen.
Come on, is it?
Yes.
John, how about that, John?
What? I'm a fellow Taurus.
Huh?
I'm a fellow Taurus.
Hey, John, now that frightens me. She said, are you putting me on? Is
no, I'm not.
Helen is your real name?
Right on.
John, what about that?
Helen Marianne.
I'll be a son of a gun.
Listen, can you tell me something about me?
I don't want to take another chance now. I mean,
oh,
I'm
back.
Huh?
Oh, come on.
I'd say you're calling from New York.
Right. What part?
Upstate New York.
How far up?
Well, maybe Buffalo, Syracuse, that area?
Near Syracuse.
John, how much? Is this right?
Boy, you're hitting an optimal force tonight.
Yeah. Holy mackerel.
It's a little bit of town.
It's what kind of town?
It's a little bit of town.
A little bit of town?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you want me to name the town?
Uh-huh.
Give me the first...
Good, come on.
Give me the first letter. The first letter of the town.
W.
First thing came to my mind was the Williamsport.
No, that's Pennsylvania.
Well, that's the first thing that came to my mind. I like everything else came to my...
Well, boy, you sure are smart. I've listened to you for about 2 years, and tonight I've got index trouble, but I've got some. It has something to do with fluid.
It has to do with fluid?
Uh-huh.
It has to do with fluid. My eyes are closed. It could be Waterville.
Watertown.
Watertown.
All right, outstanding.
Son of a gun.
Oh, the son of a gun, huh?
Well, I'm going through a change in my life that you would never believe.
I would believe anything, Helen.
Would you?
Yes.
And honestly, I'm not a superstitious person. In fact, I'm really religious. But I've got a horoscope book on myself, my husband, and his gal, you know?
Wait a minute. Your husband...
Track of all of us,
yeah? Helen, your husband and who?
His gal.
His gal?
Yeah.
Your husband has a girlfriend?
Sure has.
Oh, I'm sorry. How long were you married? How are you married?
Oh, 15 years, wall-to-wall kids, and...
How many kids?
Well, yours and mine ours is 10 altogether.
10?
Yeah. The average from, well, the oldest is 26 down to 4.
And how many are yours?
5 of them.
And how many are his?
Well, what you say, 9. What's left over? 5.
5? And how many belong to the girlfriend?
None.
Oh, so again, 5
yeah,
and 5.
Now listen, last year I had to go to the hospital.
Yes.
For an operation which the doctor said to be 8 days. Well, it ended up to be 4 days back in a month. So this gal moved right in while I was gone. And kept track of him by bringing in 6 bags of beer. Not 6 bags, cases. And just overtook, got rid of the lady I had hired to watch my children. And that's why she holds on to him. She has the history of being an alcoholic.
Oh.
And I refuse it. She offers it. So when I get home from the hospital, I can't do the jig and I can't do the bedroom scene and all this jazz, so he just takes off in the middle of the night.
Oh.
And,
these small towns, eh?
Yeah, see, and anyway, I managed to get back on my feet, and he kind of shines back to me again, and... but still, I've taken back 4 times, and he just toddles off after 2 or 3 weeks. And finally, I just can't take it anymore. But I got to face something coming up, and my horoscope says I'm going to make it, and I don't know. I just got mixed feelings. I'm just wondering what you felt.
Let me
He wants me and her, too, see?
He wants both of you.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't deserve both of you. Who does he think he is?
Yeah, right. God Almighty.
He's not.
Well, he's Sagittarius. Isn't Sagittarius and Taurus the worst mixture?
Yeah, it's not a good combination. It's not a good combination. We're Earth people, down to Earth. And these Sagittarius are flighty people. They like to talk a lot. They like to travel.
Yeah, but you know what this damn book says? True love will win out.
What's that?
True love will win out.
Well, whatever that means, whether it's with the girlfriend or you, Helen, right?
Yeah. Well, she's Capricorn.
That will not work out, too. They're too close.
They won't work out with him?
No.
Oh.
Matter of fact, you're better with him than she is.
Oh. Well, I just tell him I've got too many children. I don't want another one because he makes me the mother scene. He just puts the mother image to him because if there's been a card or a note left to me, it's always my sign pa, you know. I said, I've got enough kids. I don't want another one.
No. Well, Helen, let me, I'm not receiving anything right now, but...
Before you said that, my name right off the bat.
I know, but let me put my psychic powers in gear, and you keep listening, and I'll try to come up with something. I'll give you some advice, Helen.
I sure enjoy your program.
But have no more children with this bum.
Oh, no, I can't. I have the waterworks removed.
Very good. Well, okay. So long, Helen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good girl. How about that? Sometime that frightens me, John. Let's take another call. WBZ time, 11 before 2. Hello?
Hello, I'd like to talk to Larry Glick.
This is Larry Glick. How do you do, sir?
Good.
Hey, who's laughing there, kid? I hear someone laughing in the background. Who is it?
Who is it?
Yes.
We're at a bachelor party right now.
A bachelor party? What's the reason?
Mike's married, sadly.
Mike's married. How old is he?
How old are you, Mike? 29.
29, that's a good age. What does he do for a living?
He's a nurse right now.
He's a nurse. Is he marrying a doctor?
No. He's marrying another nurse.
Another nurse. What's the other nurse's name? Sam?
No.
Huh?
Joan.
Joan. Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Joan. Oh, are you a nurse?
No, I'm an accountant.
Oh.
Larry, can you do me a favor?
I'm the godfather. What is your favor?
Could you play the Graveyard Marauder for us?
The Graveyard Marauder.
With Gil Lewis?
With Gil Lewis. Yeah, put Mike on. I'll do it after 2 o'clock.
Okay, Mike, he wants to talk to you. Mike, he wants to talk to you.
Nurse Sweeney.
He's not here yet.
Hey, where is he?
He's drinking a pitcher of scotch.
A pitcher of scotch? Nurse Sweeney, report if you can. Nurse Sweeney.
Still trying to recover from watching the home movies we were just showing.
Report to the OR. Nurse Sweeney, report to the OR. This is Dr. Glick calling for Nurse Sweeney. Nurse Sweeney, where are you?
There he goes. He's putting the bottle down.
Come
on over, mate. There he comes.
Hello, Nurse Sweeney. Where are you? A drunken bachelor party.
How you doing, Larry?
Hey, Nurse Sweeney, were you drinking a pitcher of scotch? I never heard of anything like that.
Well, halfway through.
Well, what's the reason for that?
It's a stag party.
Okay, listen, you're getting married Saturday?
Yeah.
How long have you known Joan?
About 2 years.
You work in the same hospital?
Yeah.
Same ward?
Right.
When did you first find out it was love? Were you operating on someone at the time? Were you running with a bedpan? How did you find out that it was love at first sight?
We were making a bed together.
Making a bed together. Oh, what do you mean by that, Sweeney? Sweeney, what do you mean by that? Hey, are you registered nurses or practical nurses?
She's a practical nurse, unregistered nurse.
Oh, wonderful. And where are you going to get married?
We'll get married over at the Mission Church.
Mr. George, you think? How do you feel psychically? You feel this is the right thing for you to do to marry this girl?
Oh, by all means.
Are you both going to continue working?
Oh yeah.
Do you give each other shots?
Right.
Well, what did you catch? Huh? Hey, Sweeney.
Yeah.
Can you see your radio?
Yeah.
Look at it. Good luck. So long, Sweeney. We gave it to Sweeney.
If you've been window shopping lately, you know that men's suits, sport coats, and slacks are selling for $125 to $175 and even more. Then you begin to wonder how the Adams Warehouse, that miracle-working outlet in Boston's Leather District, can sell such fine clothing for men at such incredible prices. Here's how. A famous chain in New York closes its doors, a well-known manufacturer is overstocked, and Adams Warehouse buyers are there with an open checkbook to make those amazing buys. You'll find a tremendous selection, thousands of suits in all sizes and styles, including the latest leisure suits on sale at $19 to $79 and none higher. Thousands of sport coats, sale priced at $12 to $49, none higher. Thousands of pairs of slacks at $4 to $17 and none higher. Many with America's most famous labels. And there's a tremendous selection for big men at prices little men ordinarily pay. See, and you've got to believe. Come on down to the Adams Warehouse, 123 Beach Street, corner of South Street, just two blocks from Boston South Station. Open Monday through Friday till 9, Saturday till 6. Bank AmeriCard and MasterCharge card honored. Money back on any unaltered garment within 7 days. Let's take another call. Good luck, Sweeney.
Good luck to you, Sweeney. Hello, WBZ, you're on the air. Our number is 254-5678, area code 617. Hello. Hello, this is Commander Glick speaking. Let's take another call, John. Hello. Hello.
Hello?
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 You're on the air.
You're on the air?
I have a feeling you're on the air now, but you won't be on for long.
Hello?
Hello?
Larry Glick?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
I'd like to talk about boxing.
About boxing?
Yeah.
Okay.
You had a call on about 2 weeks ago about you had a psychic that said Frazier would beat Ali.
That's right. Frazier will beat Ali. I believe that he will. Yes, I do.
I don't think he will.
Well, that's your opinion, kid. What do you know? What do you know about fighting? How old are you?
I'm 19.
19 years old. Do you do any fighting now?
Nope.
No. Quick, come back. Shoots left and right. Frazier hits Muhammad Ali right in the mouth, and Muhammad Ali is down.
No way.
No way. Well, okay.
No, what Ali's going to do to Frazier?
What?
Frazier.
Go ahead,
is
say
a good fighter.
Frazier is a great fighter and
Ben
a strong fighter. Yes.
Ben
huh?
Foreman. First of all,
yes.
He doesn't dance. Frazier will not tire out like yeah. Foreman did.
Yes.
I saw the fight at the Pro Circuit Television.
Go ahead, kid.
And Foreman punched himself out.
Yes.
First of all, Frazier won't do that.
All right.
He's a good fighter.
Good fighter.
But Ali
yes.
is going to mess him up with jabs and punches in the mouth.
His legs are going to tire, though.
No.
Muhammad Ali's a great fighter,
he's
but...
He's going to stand on the ropes.
His legs are going to get tired.
And there's Muhammad Ali. Muhammad is saying, Allah, Allah. He's there for Allah, but he's hanging on the ropes. And Frazier comes in and shoots another left, another right, another left, another right. And Muhammad says, I'm going to take you in four. Well, okay. That's what you think. His legs are going to give out. Muhammad Ali's not a kid anymore. He's getting up there. His legs are going to give out.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
First of all, Frazier.
Frazier is 39. But strong, kid,
32.
Strong. He's 32, I mean, right.
No, I knew he was 32.
Right.
Ali's 33, 1 year older.
Yeah, but Muhammad's lived a stronger life. You know, this guy, Frazier, different kind of life.
Right.
Well, I know a lot of stories that you don't know, kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what Ali's going to do to him?
What?
He's going to punch him like he's been in jail.
Oh, shoot. Listen, I'll tell you. He'll go to the sixth round, and then Frazier's going to whack him once. And Frazier hit him a left and right. There's a 1-2, and Muhammad Ali is out on the canvas with his mouth open. Well, so long, kid, because speaking about mouths open, here's the late Mama Cass, and she's not with us anymore, and it's ironic that she choked on a ham sandwich. Goodbye.
Brightens up the morning team with talk and music every morning at 8 on Radio 103. The Spirit of New England, WBZ, Boston Group W, Westinghouse Broadcasting. It's 34 degrees in Boston. Tonight's low will be 32. I'm Streeter Glick. Reporting at 2 o'clock, WBZ News. At least 7 persons are said to be under arrest in South Vietnam for plotting to overthrow President Nguyen Van Thieu. A government spokesman accuses those arrested of taking advantage of uneasy feelings among demonstrators demanding Thieu's ouster. On the war front,
Communist gunners fired five rockets into Kanto Friday, the Mekong Delta's largest city. Kanto is only 75 miles southwest of Saigon. Military sources say the shelling appears to be a communist attempt to create the same type of panic in the Mekong Delta that forced the evacuation and abandonment of cities north of Saigon last week. General Frederick Weyand is headed back to Washington from Saigon to report to President Ford on the military situation in South Vietnam. Weyand characterizes the recent loss of 60% of South Vietnam to the communists as, in his words, a sound strategic action by the South Vietnamese Army. President Ford says despite recent gains by the North Vietnamese and Viet Cong forces in South Vietnam, he does not expect the government of President Chu to fall. And Mr. Ford's news conference in San Diego, we have a report from BZ's Tom Girard.
Insisting that he does not anticipate the fall of South Vietnam, Mr. Ford nevertheless suggested he might deploy U.S. military forces to Saigon to evacuate several thousand Americans if necessary. The president also said he is frustrated by the limits of the War Powers Act, saying that the potential for military action by the United States might prove a successful deterrent to aggression. Mr. Ford expressed concern that some allies and potential enemies might now misread U.S. will.
Let me say to our Western European allies, we're going to stand behind our commitments to NATO, and we're going to stand behind our commitments to other allies around the world. But there has to be, in the minds of some people, a feeling that maybe the tragedy of Indochina might affect our relations with their country.
Mr. Ford said the current Vietnam tragedy could have been avoided if this country had lived up to its promise to send Saigon replacement weapons. But he insisted he was not blaming Congress, and he said he'd push for more military and humanitarian aid and would take special steps to help South Vietnamese orphans. Tom Girard, Group W News, with the president in San Diego.
WBZ News Time, 3 minutes after 2.
This is BZ's Gary LaPierre, and I'd like you to know about a super tennis exhibition coming up, sponsored by the Greater Boston YMCA Reading Branch. Bobby Riggs is going to be in Reading Friday night, the 4th of April. Radio and TV personalities, superstars from the Bruins and Patriots will be there, plus a young woman who believes she can whip Bobby Riggs.
Who?
For tickets, call the Reading Y at 944-7989.
Police in Belfast say that they're not ruling out the possibility that the slaying of two men Thursday night marks a resumption of sectarian killings in Northern Ireland. The slayings came as British officials met with representatives of the IRA in an attempt to prevent a breakdown in a seven-week-old ceasefire. Burial services will be held Friday for the 11 members of the Rupert family who were fatally shot in Fairfield, Ohio, Easter morning. More than 700 persons attended a funeral service Thursday night. A son of one of the victims is being charged with the murders. Now the weather for Boston and vicinity. Storm warnings in effect along the coast. High wind warning in effect inland this morning and Friday. And for the rest of this morning, cloudy and windy with occasional light snow. Possible accumulation of an inch or so. Friday, partly cloudy, windy, chance of a few snow flurries. The high temperatures will be in the upper 30s. Friday night, variable cloudiness and windy. Low temperatures in the upper 20s. And Saturday, variable cloudiness and windy. High temperatures in the 40s. Probability of precipitation, 40%. Friday, 20% Friday night. In Boston now, 34 degrees. High sports fans on the BZ scoreboard. The Kentucky Colonels and New York Mets will meet tomorrow night in Louisville for the ABA Eastern Division title after the two teams tied for the lead at the end of the regular season schedule. In the National Basketball Association, Cleveland 100 and the Knicks 95. In the National Hockey League, Buffalo 4, Boston 2. Chicago 6, Kansas City 4, New York Rangers 1, Philadelphia 1. In the WHA, New England 4 and Quebec 1. San Diego 9 and Baltimore 2. In exhibition baseball last night, Minnesota 2 and Boston 1. The Yankees 7 and Mets 3. Again. That's it, sports fans. The top story of the hour. At least seven persons are said to be under arrest in South Vietnam for plotting to overthrow President Nguyen Van Chu. That's the 2 o'clock WBZ report. I'm Streeter Glick, WBZ News. The Boy Scouts of the Boston Council are out selling tickets for their exciting Scout Show 75. Buy a couple. You'll have a good time at the Scout Show and help Boston area scouting in the bargain. A recent WBZ editorial said Governor Dukakis had his priorities badly mixed up in the turning down all cost of living increases for people on welfare. The station recognized the financial problems in giving the full 11% increase, but urged a compromise at the total equal to the average rise in pay around the area. Here with a rebuttal is Governor Dukakis.
I ran for governor because the progressive and decent and humane programs we fought for in the legislature during the 60s were not helping the people they were designed to help. They were either so bogged down in bureaucratic red tape and mismanagement that the benefits never really reached people, or they were starved for funds because so much money was being wasted elsewhere. In an earlier rebuttal, I reviewed the fiscal crisis my administration inherited, a budget deficit of almost $400 million for this fiscal year, a possible shortage of $1 billion within the next 18 months. The situation is so bad that we can't even afford to pay the people who supply oxygen to our Medicare and Medicaid patients. When you face a fiscal crisis like that, you have to make some hard choices. And believe me, denying the state's 500,000 welfare recipients an 11% cost of living increase is one of the most difficult decisions I've ever had to make. I spent 8 years in the legislature fighting for the underdog for programs like decent housing, rent control, and lead paint poisoning prevention because I feel deeply that state government ought to help the less fortunate. And when you're broke, and when you have a legal obligation to balance the budget, there aren't many options. You can ask for new taxes, but with our antiquated tax structure, it's the lower and middle income people who have to pay. And in these hard and inflationary times, new taxes are an unbearable burden. So we're forced to go a different route, to balance the budget and live within our income, to bring back some sense of responsibility to state government. If we do that now, we'll soon put ourselves in a position to help the people who really need our help without breaking the back of our taxpayers.
WBZ has presented rebuttal with Governor Michael S. Dukakis, who was replying to our editorial urging a compromised living cost adjustment for people on welfare, a figure in line with the average increase in wages across the state. And now, back to the Larry Glick Show. We'll go until 2:30, then, in case people are not aware of what we did, every morning, we got this kiss from a lady on the little short for a while.
Stay with me while we grow. We
record that half hour session. And then the following week, we play it back. So we don't have a lot. We were getting complaints. People say, hey, listen, I'm sick of those comedy records. They're playing the same thing over and over. I'm sick of some of that old stuff you're playing. So what we do is we play this, and we've got a few comments. It's been favorable so far. So maybe you were on at 4:30 to 5, you'll lay yourself back on. So it's a continuous thing. And we have our coffee and cookie break. We see what Charlie DiGiovanni brought us. And I listened to some of the interviews, and I remember them. I get a kick out of them. Last night we had Homer on with his evil brother-in-law trying to make money on people setting up a religious tent. Let's take a call, John. 254-5678. You're on WBZ. Hello.
Hello, Larry?
Yes.
How are you, Larry?
Molto bene, Tove Nod.
First time caller from Dorchester.
Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to know what you thought. I heard you talk about compatibility before, and I was wondering if you thought that two Scorpios could get together.
Yes, it's possible, but they'll eat each other up. Two Scorpios, and duh. Sometimes they do. Like, I know... I worked with a couple of Aries, husband and wife, and they get along fine. Usually you think the two Aries would bump heads all the time because they're both opinionated people. They must have their way, but you never know. It all depends where their sun is and what the ephemeris says.
Yes, okay, I enjoy your show, and I'm...
What do you do in Dorchester?
I'm not in Dorchester now. I work as a computer operator.
Oh. Okay, but you do enjoy the show.
Oh, yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So long, neighbor. Bye-bye. We'll be right back in 60 seconds. Listen to this, please.
Larry Glick, the popular WBZ personality and America's number one stage hypnotist, will again be featured in a fun evening this Saturday for one night only at Jimmy McGetrick's Beachcomber on Wollaston Beach Boulevard in Quincy. Now, in addition to the regular eight-act fun show, Larry provides an additional 90 minutes of excitement. Interested in quitting smoking? Well, Larry will show you how to stop. Would you like to know how it feels to win $10,000 in a horse race? Just step on stage. Larry will show you. Or perhaps you'd like to imagine yourself as the world's greatest dancer. Now, Larry Glick will show you how to be that, too. That's this Saturday at the Beachcomber, Wollaston Beach Boulevard in Quincy. Larry is a proven favorite there, and that's why he goes back again and again with this outstanding hypnosis demonstration. So advance reservations are suggested.
For Fun with Larry Glick at the Beachcomber, reserve now by phoning 479-8989. The number again is 479-8989.
Good job, David. Let's take another call. 254-5678. Hello.
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 How are you?
Malta Bennett.
Oh, that's good. I can barely hear you.
I'll say a lot of Malta Bennett.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. You're on the air, lady.
Oh, gracious sakes. Let me turn my radio.
Oh, lands of Goshen. Gracious sakes. Woo-wee.
Well, I just sounds different to be talking on the, you know, on the phone and hearing something different come over the radio.
I understand. It seems we have a delay system.
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller.
A little round of applause to welcome you in. Where are you calling from, lady?
I'm calling from Beaverton, Michigan.
What town?
Beaverton.
Beaverton, Michigan. How many people in Beaverton?
Oh, I don't know, but if you kind of sneeze when you're going through it, you know, you just kind of pass it by.
What city is it near? What large city?
Midland.
Midland, Beaverton. All aboard for Beaverton and Middleton. No, what city that we've heard of in the east?
Pardon?
What large city in Michigan that we've heard of in the east?
Well, how about Flint or Detroit?
Flint, Detroit, yes. How far are you from Detroit?
Well, I don't know from Detroit, but I'm about 72 miles from Flint, northeast.
Man, you're out in the woods, eh, in Beaverton? What's your first name, ma'am?
This is Andrea.
That's a pretty name, Andrea. What do you do up there in Beaverton?
Well, I'm a housewife.
And what does your husband do?
He's a truck driver.
And where does he travel? From Beaverton to Middleton and back?
Oh, every place. He's on his way to Tennessee.
Oh, how many nights a week is he gone?
Oh, sometimes all week.
Do you get lonesome? Do you miss him? Does he call you? Does he send you gifts? What does he do?
Oh, yeah, he calls, but I've got lots of company.
Who?
I've got my two dogs. That's what I called you about.
What kind of dogs do you have?
Well, you got them very upset last night.
Why?
Well, remember when the lady called, and she said something about, she had a Doberman and a Shepherd?
Yes.
And you put the recording on, and you said your dog only barks when you kick him in a certain place?
That's right.
And then you played that thing, you know, and that dog howled and barked. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, my dogs were asleep at that time. I've got the radio over the bed, and boy, they heard that, and they sat up and just looked, you know, and kind of started to growl, and I had to really calm them down.
What kind of dogs are they?
Two Dobermans.
Holy, and they started to bark. Where are they now?
They're laying at my feet.
Can we do this again, see what happens?
Well.
They're supposed to start to growl, huh?
Yeah.
I'll turn the radio on, and I'll get my dog. I'll give him a little kick at a certain spot. This will get him going, okay?
Okay, I got the radio down.
Turn it up now. It'll come out in 7 seconds. Good boy. Get those Dobermans. Did I hear a bark? Andrea?
Yeah.
Did I hear
a... They're not barking, but boy, they're sure looking.
They're looking around, huh?
Yeah. I've got a male and a female.
Are they brother and sister, or are they going
to... They're half brother and sister. They have the same father, but a different mother.
Do you have a gun in the house, too?
Pardon?
You have a gun in the house?
Oh, several.
Yep. You have several guns and two Dobermans.
Right.
They better... Folks, you better stay away from Beaverton. Boy, you get your head blown off and then eaten up.
Well, I tell you, all the guns are put away, so there's no problem there. But I figure, you know, I kind of let one first, and, you know, I kind of keep one as in reserve, and anything that's going to get past the first one isn't going to make it past the second one.
Did you ever have to use your gun?
No.
Did you ever have to use your dogs?
Yeah, I did a couple times. I don't know if it was just, there's not too many people up here.
What do you mean?
Well, it's just mostly a summer resort.
Oh, you live on a lake?
There's not too many permanent residents.
How near is the closest resident?
Well, there's maybe a lot and a half between me and my neighbor on the right, and then on the left of me, maybe 6 or 8 lots down before there's anybody. So I'm kind of out in the sticks right on the lake.
Oh, and you have, but your house is winterized, of course.
Oh, yes, yes.
Your husband doesn't want to live in the city, eh?
No, he's lived in the city while we lived in Flint. And when he had to make the move up here because, you know, with the company that he works for, they wanted him closer. He says, you just might as well get used to it because I'm never moving back to the city. And that was quite a shock for me because for 26 years I've lived with all the hustle and the bustle and the noise and... It was quite. It took me a year to get used to it, but it doesn't bother me now.
How long have you been up there?
It was a year in September.
Do you like it?
Oh, yeah, I like it now. I get in the big city there, so to speak, and all the cars and out they when they, you know, kind of hit at it. Half the people don't drive, you know, they just kind of aim.
Yeah.
And,
Well, what are you doing? Do you have children?
No, just my two dogs.
How long have you been married?
Oh, about 8 years.
How long?
About 8 years.
All right. And how many nights a week has your husband gone on the road?
Well, he might leave on a Monday, and I might not see him until Saturday.
What do you do all week?
Oh, I do ceramics. My next door neighbor that I do have, she's my ceramic teacher.
Yeah.
So I keep busy with that, and I work with my dogs. We show them, and I have that, and I do a little crocheting and talk on. I have a CB radio that we're in a club up here, and just kind of chit chat back and forth with everybody. I don't really go anyplace. I don't like to be out after dark.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't like to come home to a dark house. Even with the dogs, I just, I go and do my shopping during the day, or if something comes up where I absolutely have to go out. I just don't like to be out.
That's kind of scary out there in the woods all by itself, right?
Yeah, it is in a way.
I might be frightened to live up there myself. I'd have a gun on my hip all the time.
Well, I tell you, it was really strange because when we got here, it was in September.
Yeah.
And of course, we're maybe 15 foot, if that. And the lake is right in my backyard. And I'd be outside with the female. She was just a pup at that time, and every time I take her out, I had her on leash, because that was new experience for her.
Yeah.
All that wide open spaces, honestly, Larry, it would be so quiet. You couldn't even, the crickets wouldn't do what they do, and no frogs would be, you know, making no noise, and all of a sudden everything would be quiet.
I guess that's $5
and then all of a sudden you hear splash and some fish jump in the lake, and I thought, can you have a tree?
could be helped by a chiropractor, and they don't think of chiropractic simply because they're back in line. Obviously, if you...
Anyway, it took 4 years to get adjusted, and I kind of like it now. Of course, I got my dogs, and we're going to breed her in July, and we'll have puppies in September, and I'm going to keep one male litter and breed again, so I hope we have a farm running on now.
Oh, yeah. You know what I like to do? I like to do that with German Shepherds. I love shepherds. I had a Doberman, but I love shepherds. I love shepherds. Who knows?
I always treated them, and I never wanted one. And then I got to talking to people, you know, that had been doing the breeding, you know, for like 10, 15 years, and that, you know, didn't know the breed and all this, and because I had always heard that, you know, you can't trust them, and they'll turn on you.
What, shepherds?
Pardon?
Shepherds?
No, Dobermans.
Oh, Dobermans, right.
And all this kind of thing, and I was kind of leery about it, and my husband said, well, you either have a Dober or you have nothing at all, so I figured, well, you know, I don't want to be up here alone, so I gave in to him, and now I wouldn't trade him for anything.
Yeah, they're good dogs. Well, okay, listen, Andrea, take care of yourself, and I'll have my dog say goodbye to you. Wolf, say goodbye to Andrea. How's that?
That's fine. I wish I understood dogs, though, so I'd know what he was saying.
He says, nice to meet you. That's what he says. So long, Andrea.
Okay, enjoy your show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. And keep me as company up there.
Pardon me?
Keep me as company up there in Beaverton.
Yeah.
Keep me as company up there.
Okay, you have a good day, and we'll talk to you later.
So long.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Well, let's see what we have here. Let's see, we have a message here, and we shall return.
Meezy asks you to join CARES Empty Plate Campaign. Skip or reduce a meal and send the money you save to CARE. You can't send the food you save to the hungry, but CARE will use the money to buy that food for them. Please send your donation to CARE World Hunger Fund, Boston 02116.
Turn handsprings, ladies and gentlemen, because what has never happened before at Baron Anderson is happening now. Now every garment in the store is being marked down, and the sale that Baron Anderson is running to bring 5,000 new customers into their store. Can you imagine men's suits of the quality that you'd find at Baron Anderson starting at $25? Yes, only $25. In addition, you can buy men's coats starting at $29. Saving, saving, savings. Remember, even at their former high prices, Baron Anderson was considered by many to have the greatest values in New England. So their new low markdown prices are practically giveaways. Listen to this. Baron Anderson sport jackets start at $15 in this sale. Also, terrific buys in slacks, outerwear, leather jackets, leatherware, and coats. Baron Anderson, established in 1901, is located near the South Station at 745 Atlantic Avenue, corner of Beach Street, with the entrance on Beach Street. Open Mondays and Wednesdays, 9 to 8, other days including Saturdays, 9 to 5. Stop everything, men and women, and run to this once-in-a-lifetime Baron Anderson markdown sale of every garment at Baron Anderson. Let's take another call. 254-5678, WBZ time, 22 after 2. Hello.
Hello, Larry.
Hello.
I'm disappointed in the Godfather.
I'm the Godfather. What is your favor?
I already asked you for a favor tonight. You didn't do it. If you could see Nurse Sweeney right now.
Yes.
He's 6 foot four.
6 foot four.
280 pounds.
200, that's a fat nurse. How does he get into his uniform?
Don't ask me.
Hey, what does Fat Sweeney want?
We've been waiting for you to play the Graveyard Marauder.
Oh, I forgot. Wait, do you know? Let me see now.
He's on his second pitcher of scotch. He's going to fall asleep pretty soon.
Hey, you know what I did? Hey, tell Fat Sweeney that I'm going to play this. Oh, will he stay up until after 3 o'clock? Because we won't have enough time now, because it runs about 9 minutes, and we only have 7 minutes before we get into this tape at 2:30. Do you understand?
Yeah, I know.
You tell Fat Sweeney to go easy on that pitcher of scotch, and after the 3 o'clock news, we'll play it for him. I'll ask Eddie to remind me, okay?
All right.
Huh? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I'm a second-time caller.
A second-time caller?
Hey, minutes ago was my first time.
Where's Fat Sweeney right now?
Sitting on a reclining.
A reclining. Tell him I have something for him. Don't tell him to get up. Just tell him to look at his radio.
He already knows that trick.
Let's take another call. 254-5678. Ron WBZ. Hello.
Oh, hello, Larry.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, you've got a bad attitude tonight. You've been shooting everybody.
But they asked me for it.
Yeah, hey, don't shoot me.
I won't. I won't. See, how's that? It changed. 254-5678. You're on WBZ. Hello. Hello? Hello, Commander Click here. Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's go to Larry Click.
This is Larry Click.
First time call, Larry, from Medford.
Let's hear it from the tough kid from Medford.
Yes. Larry.
What?
I listen to you quite frequently night when I work in the post office in Medford Square.
Yeah.
And we have two other fellows that I work with that listen to you.
Do you know Paul Kavanaugh?
Yes, he's a school committee man.
School committee man, no, that's why he lost this last election. No one knew who he was. No, he was a rep.
A rep
from Medford.
Medford, yes.
Yeah.
Larry, I want to tell you, I enjoyed your show when you were Ace Click. I wish you'd do it more often.
But the truth is, what's your first name?
Joe,
I didn't know what I was talking about, Joe. I was making that stuff up as I went along.
But, Larry, you were super.
Hey, that's nice of you to say
and
that.
And you shot a lot of people, too, that night, too.
I what?
You shot a lot of people up the air.
Hey, what's wrong with me, Joe?
I don't know.
Joe.
I love it. I love it. There was one call that got you a little bit annoyed.
Yeah.
And you just gave it to him, Larry.
That's a good way to snuff people out. See, when you see people in person, you can't do that. You have to say, yeah, right, right. You have to keep talking to them. Yes, right. I know what you mean. The guy's breathing smoke in your face. This way, it's easy for me. I just shoot him up. Pow, and I get rid of him. Hang up.
Larry, yeah. You have a fantastic show. Keep it up. And yeah. I tell you, I want to tell you, I just came back from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And would you believe I couldn't find Batista's Hole in the Wall restaurant?
You couldn't find Batista's Hole in the Wall restaurant? I've never been there myself, but he said it's right near that new MGM hotel. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, I saw a show there the other day when I was down here.
And you saw the MGM and you couldn't find Batista's Hole in the Wall restaurant?
No.
And you work in a post office? How do you find the slots to throw the letters in? Huh?
It's hard sometimes.
I know that. We get some great help in the post office.
Now, wait a minute, Larry. Now, don't knock the P.O., Larry.
No, but how about the guys that work the P.O.?
If I had a gun, I'd shoot you right now.
Hey, you would do that to me?
Not really.
I did it to you. I did it to
this
him.
This is Red Auerbach. There's a special April tradition at Rodman Ford Sales in Foxborough. Every April since they started in business 15 years ago, new car sales have exceeded the year before. This year, they know it's going to take something extra special. And here it is. If you buy a new car from stock before April the 19th, Rodman will not only match any competitive discount or rebate claim, but will give you, in addition, a $250 free bonus card to use as you please at Rodman's for service, parts, tires, accessories, car rentals. You can even rent a helicopter. That's right, an additional $250 that works just like cash. And get this, it's good anytime. for as long as you own your Rodman car. Now, that's not enough to extend Rodman's April streak for another year, and I don't know anything about winning traditions. And you know better than that.
Don't forget, if you want to get the good side of Red Auerbach, take him to a kung fu movie. Hey, Fat Sweeney. Fat Sweeney, Eddie just came in and we picked it out. We're going to have the Graveyard Marauder after the 3 o'clock news. And take it easy. Take it easy on that Scott, Fat Sweeney. Let's take another call. 27 after 2. Hello, WBZ. Yep.
Hi, Lee.
Hi, lady.
Hi. You were talking about grid
signs
before?
Yes.
And I was wondering, how do you determine, if you're born on the cusp of a sign, how do you determine which sign you belong to?
Well, you take a little bit from here and a little bit from there.
You the best or the worst?
You always take the best, my dear girl.
Oh, okay.
You always take the best. Always the best.
You were born on the cusp?
Yeah.
What cusp?
Scorpio on the 22nd of October.
Yes.
You know, I used to, because of the chiropractor, my legs used to fall asleep. You know, when I was in high school, you know, I'd get up and my legs would be asleep.
That's a nice time. You know, you get a little freaky at times, a little cuckoo. How old are you, Libra?
I'm 18.
18. That's how old Nanette will be. She'll be 18 in this September.
Oh, I'll be...
You'll be 19.
Yeah.
You're a year older.
Right.
May I ask you a question? Do you have any problems with your mother? Do you get along with your mother okay? The truth now. What's your first name?
My first name?
Yes.
Janet.
How do you get along with your mother?
I get along a lot better with her now.
Aha! But you were bumping heads. What sign is your mother? Her mother
born
is...
born in the middle of December.
Oh, she's a Sagittarius.
Oh.
Her mother, Nanette's mother, is an Aries. And they were bumping heads. They just weren't making it. Now, I was just wondering how Janet was doing with her mother.
Well, we get along a lot better than we used to.
What was some of the... give me one of the big problems that you had.
Well, she likes girls that are very... feminine, cheerleader types, you know.
Right. Oh, right. So does her mother. And you don't like your mother's lifestyle, and she doesn't like your lifestyle, right?
Well, now she does, but she didn't used to.
Uh-huh. Well, okay.
She wanted me to just be your wife or something.
Yeah, right. That's the way it goes. Hey, listen, Janet, we're running out of time because we have this show that's coming on 2:30. We're going to take our coffee and cookie break.
Okay.
Get along with everybody, and thanks for calling. You're okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Start your day with everything that you need to know. Join the BZ Morning Team weekdays on WBZ Boston Group, W Westinghouse Broadcasting. We're going to have our coffee and cookie break. Listen to this, and we'll be right back. And then we'll play this Gil Lewis story, the Marauder story, after the 3 o'clock news for Fat Sweeney. All right, let's carry on. Hello there. I'd like to know more about that. About credit cards?
Credit cards are oil and gas. That's the most numerous one, as well as the other well-known ones.
Give me the story now.
And if we get behind 3 months, we can expect to get a letter from the oil company to please send the card back. And there's a special National Credit Card Recovery Bureau in St. Louis that does this work when you and I don't send them back at once. They get past due. They recovered over 20,000 credit cards in January, which is a high point. And when the gas oil company or Bank of America turns our account over to them, credit card recovery bureau writes us, and I want 60% come back, get it back. Then they send somebody out to call on you, ex-policeman, a sheriff, or something like that. And of course, when we knock on the door, he's on our front door there, Larry, knock on the door. There he is. And we open the door, and we see this man there.
Hello, are you McGillicuddy?
I'm McGillicuddy. What do you want?
I've come to ask you about these credit cards.
I mailed that back yesterday, sir. I mailed it back yesterday. You get back to your office and you phone Gulf Oil and they'll tell you they should have it by now. So therefore, you close the door.
Right.
As soon as you get away from the corner, Coolidge Corner, I dash out and mail it back.
Uh-huh.
And that's 20% more. Now we got 80% returned.
Right.
And of course, when they get these back, they run these cards through a shredder. Now, you and I must be very careful when we get a new card. We should take the old outdated one and cut it up with our scissors. That's most important.
Well, I do that. Now, what did you say about the type people that have them? You said show business people are bad.
Well, I'll come to that.
Oh.
I'll come to that in a minute.
Go ahead.
The worst ones. Now, if you called on me and I told you I'd mail it back, you get $5 for making that call.
Now, if I actually gave you the card, you'd get $15. That isn't bad for knocking on McGillicuddy's door in Milton, is it?
No.
Oh, no, you can't knock twice, so you've got it back. You made your $15. Please go away, Mr. Oglick.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if, let's say, Glick is a big, big spender. I know you are, too. But
right.
I also know you pay your bills. But Glick's a big spender, and he's run up thousands of dollars worth of unpaid bills on his America card, Bank of America card, and things like that. I would get $500 to find Glick and try and get the card back. They paid off $500 to this card tracer for a Glick who had moved to Mexico and owed $18,000 on his credit card.
How could a guy get $18,000 on a credit card?
It's easy.
Hey, before I ask you that, how'd you know that I pay my bills, McGillicuddy?
Listen,
I'm
writing a book on Glick.
You did it.
I take track of all your machinations.
Oh, hey, could you hold on a second?
Go ahead.
Do you know who Perry Marshall is?
Perry Marshall.
Yes.
Isn't that the fellow that had an Ironside?
No, I'm
That's
off.
Perry,
no.
Somebody.
Yeah, hold on a second. He's calling from Pittsburgh. It's our sister station.
Go ahead, I'll hold
on. Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
Did your mother come from Pittsburgh? La da dee 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 dee. Perry Marshall.
No, this is Bill. Perry, I'll be with you in a moment.
Bill, you sound down.
I do.
Well, I mean,
shame on you.
Shame on you.
Hey, I'm not down.
How's the show doing, Bill?
Oh, we're going quite well.
Right. A lot of people like Perry?
Oh, yeah, a lot of people like Perry.
That's good. Hey, what do you hear from Jack Wheeler?
I just talked to him yesterday.
What do you hear?
He's doing quite well.
What is he doing?
He works at another radio station here in Pittsburgh now.
What time is he on?
6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Is he happy with it?
Yes.
Is he doing any TV?
I don't think he's doing any TV except an occasional commercial.
Bill, what's the story with...
Marshall will be right with you.
Mr. Marshall will be... Hey, how come...
Hello?
I wonder how come Muck and Eddie don't call me Mr. Glick.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this Mr. Larry Glick? This is Abba Ibn speaking from Israel.
Abba! Abba! Hey, can you get a...
I thought you'd like to hear...
Hey, Abba!
Because
I can hardly hear you, Abba.
I have a message, a very special message.
You'll have... Hey, Abba! Can you speak up? I can hardly hear you. Can you ask your engineer to get on the phone or do something, Abba?
Is this better?
No.
It's not better.
John, can you hear him clearly? Okay, Abba.
Thank you very much. It seems that our enemies are threatening to drive us into the sea. And I just want to tell them that they ain't going to drive us into the sea so fast.
Perry!
They ain't going to pick on us no more.
Perry!
Hello, Larry.
Perry.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. What do I owe this pleasure to? Well,
the pleasure is that I heard that you did a fantastic favor for somebody tonight.
Boy, it spreads around fast. What was the favor, Perry?
Well, that you got a call through to Israel.
Yeah, well, this kid called from Boston.
Yeah.
And he said his mother and father were over there on a pilgrimage.
Yes.
And he gave me the number of the hotel, and we called them, and they were just... It's funny. They were going out on a tour, and... there's a 6 hours difference, and they just came back to their room to get something, and the phone rang.
Uh-huh.
And they weren't going to do that, and they came back, and then the phone was ringing when they got back to the room.
I just...
ESP, you might say.
I just wanted you to know that I heard about that, and I thought it was a marvelous thing that you did.
Perry, I do the best I can every night. Hey, Perry.
Yes.
Hey, John, can you bring the speaker down? I want to put this on the speaker so see if Perry can hear it, okay?
Oh, I can hear you. What do you want me to hear?
Listen.
What?
Did you hear that?
That's the chauffeur.
Right.
why are you blowing the chauffeur this?
Because I've got it here, and it's an ornament? No, you have to blow it.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Did you do that?
Who do you think it was? Do you think it was the doorman?
You didn't did it. Who did it?
Hey, when I spoke to Bill, your producer,
yes.
He really made it sound like it was uptown.
Oh, what?
I said, hey, where's Perry? And then he said, one moment. Here's what he speaks. I said, Perry! He said, this is Bill. I said, can I speak to Perry? Yes, we
would you hold on a moment, please?
That's okay.
And then he said, okay, Larry, stand by. Mr. Marshall will be ready in a moment. Mr. Marshall.
Listen, we...
Now, one guy calls him Mr. Glick around here.
We are very formal around here. I mean, after all, this isn't Boston, crass Boston. This is Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh coal mine soot.
Oh, listen, soot. I bought a new soot just the other day.
A new soot. Oh, Perry.
A gabardine.
I did hear some good reports. People call up from that area.
Yes.
And I heard some good reports. They like you very, very much. They said that you're a very pleasant guy and very intelligent, a little controversial and opinionated.
And brilliant.
But, no, one said brilliant.
Well, that's me. I say that.
Oh.
Yes.
Anyway, I did hear some good reports. They did like you, Perry.
But no.
And that's good.
Does anybody say that?
All the people from Pittsburgh are calling me and telling me that.
Does anybody say that about Schwartzy, though?
No.
They don't? See?
No. Hey, that's funny that you say that. There wasn't one person that said that about Schwartzy, but they're talking nice things about you, but that's right.
And I talked to Corsair last night.
Yes, yes.
And, I don't know what they say about him in Philadelphia, but...
They like Billy Boy, too.
They like him, too.
They like... The only one I don't hear about, don't tell Schwartzy, but I haven't heard anyone say anything nice about Schwartzy.
You haven't talked with him since the Muhammad Ali fight?
No.
Oh, because I think we got him at last.
What do you mean?
Oh, I had a...
He didn't take Wepner, did he?
What?
No,
it had nothing to do with that. It's just that we got a guy. I'd love to put you together with him some night, and we've never had the opportunity. Got a guy here in Pittsburgh. His name is, we call him Lonesome George, who does the greatest Muhammad Ali imitation in the whole world. And he really sounded like Ali. He felt like Ali. I think somebody beat him up before he called.
Oh, yeah.
Put him on with Schwartzy, and I think we finally got him.
You put Schwartzy on, huh?
Yeah, why not? What he does to me, huh? He had me going one night with, who the heck was it? The great director, producer of the horror films.
Alfred Hitchcock?
Alfred Hitchcock. He's got a guy named Don Kennedy in Chicago who does great imitations. And he had me going with that for the longest time. I had to get back to him, right?
That's one thing. You don't have any celebrities in Pittsburgh. Who ever comes to Pittsburgh except coal miners?
You know who I was on the air with for an hour tonight?
Oh.
Alan Alda.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
Where is he?
No celebrities?
Where did you get him?
The last time you had Alan Alda for your guest?
Alan, we had maybe about 3 years ago.
3 years, that's right. You see, and he remembers, and he'll never come back again.
That's right. Who else did you have on tonight?
Who else did we have on tonight?
I'll ask you that again, Barry. Who else did you have on tonight?
Funny, I heard that someplace.
Who did you have on last night?
Who did I have on last night? Nobody.
Ah.
Bill Corsair.
Bill Corsair. How about the night before?
The night before that, I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, they just come in droves.
Alan, what type of people do you like to interview the best? Perry?
Yes?
What type of people do you like to interview the best?
People.
Like, give me an example.
All right, human people. Alan Alda is a prime example of that because I really identify with this guy as a human being. He's a family man and he's a regular guy. And we can talk, and we both love cabbage soup. I'm serious about that. I like people who are interested in humanity, people who are not afraid to be themselves.
What is he doing now?
Who?
Alda? No, Jimmy Schwartz.
Alda is producing, well, he's still starring in MASH.
Right.
But he's producing and writing a new series called We'll Get By.
Oh.
Which is on CBS on Friday nights at 8:30.
Okay.
And it's nice, a half-hour family situation comedy thing, which is very nice. But he's a nice fella. And I like to talk with people who have written books that have to do with humanities, like psychologists and sexologists, people like that.
Well, I guess we're in the same vein. Do you get many calls on religion?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
People are constantly trying to convert me.
Yeah. What about, do you get many calls on hypnosis, motivation, inspirational calls?
Well, we had a fella here. There's a gentleman named Ralph Grossi here in Pittsburgh who has...
Ralph!
You know him?
Is that where he is?
You know him?
No.
Oh, well, he's a hypnotist.
Ralph!
And he has several clinics.
Yes.
And he claims...
Yes.
That almost all of his subjects who ask can be regressed into former life.
Oh.
And
that's where Ralphie and I lose each other.
Well, I know you don't agree with that.
Right.
But he claims that...
But listen, my mind is not blanked to it, Terry. It's just at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, I mean, that's all there is to it. And I guess he makes a tidy living. He's a professional hypnotist, and people are referred to him from physicians for hypnotherapy, and it's what he does.
Are you sure he said that?
Yep.
That most people can be regressed to a prenatal state, to a previous life?
That's what he said.
Well, listen, everyone can't agree.
Now, whether or not it's just a figment of the imagination of the subject is...
That's what we think it is.
Yeah, well, sure, and he admits to that, too. You know, he admits that it might be fantasy.
Oh, well, that's different, that's sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, now I know that you're a hypnotist. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you're very hip.
You can say that again, Mr. Marshall.
As a matter of fact, you're very hip.
Sorry, you said it again.
do you have a clinic?
I can't talk about it because it's a commercial.
I understand, but are you a hypnotherapist?
We work with people, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are you any good?
Not good, if you would say great, Perry.
Are you great, Perry?
See, you get stuck with a guy in the coal mines in Pittsburgh, and this is all you can expect.
What are you going to do? Who else is crazy enough there to be up a 4:45 in the morning talking on the radio?
That's right. The two of us.
Yes.
As a matter of fact...
Would you like to talk to somebody from Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Would you really?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Hello, this is Perry Marshall. You're on the air with me and Larry Glick.
Hi.
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 You know, this is kind of, in a way, opportune, but then... Larry.
Yes, sir.
About a year and a half, two years ago, I heard about Boston setting up urban homesteading.
Yes.
I heard one news thing about it, couldn't find any articles or anything thereafter.
Yes, what do you want to know? I'm quite well versed about it.
Did it work out at all?
No, somebody bought the house.
Yes, now let me see. What is your first name?
Mine?
Yes.
Eric.
Where are you calling from?
Nashville.
Now, this is from Nashville, Tennessee.
Right.
Okay.
And you're covering half the country right now, you hillbilly you.
That's right.
Well, the problem was that they had some people from Tennessee that moved up into this area, and that was the problem. These people from Boston didn't want the people from Nashville living near them. And that was the beginning of the problem. They said, come on, if you have to get to know them, understand these people from Tennessee. They're nice people once you get to know them. And the problem has been resolved. We told them that they weren't from Tennessee, that they were from Massachusetts.
Yeah,
do you understand, Eric?
I was wondering about that.
Huh? What?
I was just wondering about it. Well, for one thing, I heard about the same sort of thing they're trying to start up in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
It'll be successful here in Massachusetts, but it'll not be that successful in Oklahoma.
This is ridiculous. I asked you want to talk to a Pittsburgher, get somebody from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. I thought we were going to get a coal miner.
Yeah. Are you a coal miner?
What do you do down there, Eric?
I'm a security guard. I got off about an hour ago.
Stick him up, pal.
You're under arrest.
Stick him up. Take him in, Perry.
Well, watch it. This is the marshal's office.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Howdy.
Howdy.
Well, okay, Eric. You're okay, but take care of the place because people are going to walk off.
That's right.
Hey, let's get a... Hey, can we get a Pittsburgh person?
A Pittsburgh person.
How about we get a Pittsburgh person?
Let's see if we got one here.
I'm spitting all over the microphone, Perry. Pittsburgh person.
Wait a minute. Hello, are you a Pittsburgh person?
Yes, I am.
You are. Would you like to talk to a Boston person?
Okay, so I'll turn my radio down.
All right,
I'll turn my radio down, too. I like the way they talk out there.
I'm going to turn mine off, as a matter of fact.
What's his first name? I always ask the people what their first name is, where they're from.
I don't know. What's your first name, sir?
Dave.
Who?
Dave.
Dave. Right. Dave, I want you to meet Larry.
Howdy, Dave.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
And I'm George.
Hello, George.
How are you?
Fine.
Well, certainly swell talking to you, Dave. Put the light on your head and come up out of the mine so we can see you.
What would you like to talk about, Dave?
Okay, I wanted to talk about unemployment.
Oh, I hate you. That depresses me.
It's not what you think.
That depresses me, Dave.
He says it's not what you think.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have there was a caller earlier that said that he was disgusted with himself because he thinks he's letting his family down because he's unemployed, you know. Well, let me run this to you and see what you think before you cut me off, Perry. Okay?
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I relate this guy to a Vietnam soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. the guy that says, gung ho, up the hill, let's take it, you know, Mario and all that kind of stuff. When he gets up there, he gets shot, right?
Yeah.
The guy on the PT field, he's more sergeant, you know, 55,000 push ups.
More sergeant.
Rip, hunch, cadence, count.
Larry,
shut up, Larry.
Go ahead, Dave.
Let this guy make his point, will you?
Right.
All right.
Okay, and I look at it, before you cut me off, I look at it.
You better say something interesting.
I look at unemployment as being a blessing from God.
Oh, a blessing from God. What a nut you get there, Terry.
What did you say, Larry?
I said, what a nut. A blessing from God. Unemployment? Boy, you're whacked out. I'd like to get you back in the mine. Huh?
Don't blow your lid, Larry.
Well, I mean, whoever heard of a blessing, a blessing and unemployment in the same breath?
You notice how rude these guys from Boston are?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Terry. I mean, go ahead, Dave.
Okay, thanks, Larry. Now, I look at this, like I say, as being a blessing from God, because...
Nuts.
Now, this guy is so, you know, just down and out, okay? Why doesn't he, as well as the rest of the unemployed, including myself, take time out to cater to the needs of the elderly in the nation? Okay, now can you imagine how many thousands are laid off and how many thousands cannot get around? You see what I mean? Now while the unemployment is going on and there's no one is really capable of starting his own employment, okay, or whatever, you know, I'm just saying.
Wait a minute, Dave, you mean to tell me that you think that people who are unemployed and have all that spare time should go and volunteer to help elderly people?
That's what he's saying, Perry.
Sure.
Yes, that's what he's saying, Perry.
That's what I'm saying.
This guy's whacked out.
I think the guy's fantastic.
He's whacked out.
Oh, you like man. That?
Huh?
Now, that's what I say.
No,
that's a marvelous idea.
I think you're whacked out, Dave. No, I think you're unemployed. I think you should get on your feet and get something going one way or the other, and then... with the time left over,
hey, Larry,
then you can help people.
Hey, Larry, listen.
What?
If there was no such thing as unemployment compensation, then I would say go wacky and try to break your leg trying to find a job or do work for people in their yards and, you know, mowing lawn and things. But since you have unemployment, why don't you use the time?
I would say, Larry, this guy's too altruistic. I don't trust him. He'd go around the house mowing the lawn. When the people are outside, he'd grab the silverware. I don't trust this guy.
Well, I mean, that's for people, Larry.
Hey, Dave, let me ask you now, what are you doing for the old people right now?
Oh, for the people right now?
I'll ask you that again. For the people right now. Huh?
Are you saying for the old people right now? What
yes,
are
sir.
You doing for them?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I am engaged in what is known as an evangelistic ministry.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yes.
And every time, well, first of all, I do work in passing out literature. I'm the poem guy, Perry.
Yes.
But
what guy?
Say again?
Poem guy.
Poem guy.
Poem.
Yes. Yeah.
He writes poems?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Anyway, and when I see this old smutty guy on the sidewalk,